Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Alami podcast, Change Your Company. My guest today is Helen Fanucci, who is a senior commercial leader, sales leader in the corporate world. You had a long tenure in leading sales teams in Microsoft, and also you've been working with executives and senior leaders to help accelerate their sales performance, and you are the author of I Love Your Team, and I'm really curious to hear from you about the insight from your long experience leading and accelerating and optimizing sales teams. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here. So appreciate it.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about right there. Where do you want me to start?
Yeah, I think, commercial leadership is challenging in a way because there's a lot of pressure, right? So you need to perform, you need to get the result, the numbers, you need to get the deal signed, and there's a lot of factors which play into this. And so what do you see the biggest challenges that sales leaders face?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And so I would say first and foremost, the ability to retain top talent. Now, people are talking about layoffs, particularly in tech, but top talent is always in demand. And if a sales leader can't retain their top talent, they're at risk of not being able to make their quota. So let me do the math for you. Let's pretend for a minute we have a seller that is on $1 million a year quota. They leave the first day of the fiscal year. Takes probably at least 3 months to replace them, maybe more, maybe less. And then it takes 6 months perhaps to get a new seller to full strength. And that's if they work out. So that's about $750,000 out of the $1 million at risk. Plus, you lose the momentum that your seller had and relationships that your seller had. And so retaining top talent is absolutely a critical and required skill. And in my opinion, the way to do that is a manager supports their team. They reduce the sales friction, take away maybe some processes that aren't necessary, help sellers get proposals out quickly, and also use their own positional power to help a seller get higher in the organization where they can facilitate and accelerate deals. So I think those are kind of core elements of what a leader must do, and be clear that their job is not to be a performer as a seller, but to support their team.
Yeah. And on this last point, I was talking recently to a ex-commercial leader and who was working with one of my clients. And back then I was involved in helping in the commercial areas. And she was an extremely skilled salesperson, and she got promoted. And I was having conversation with her, heart to heart, because she moved into a different role. And she told me, something, I regret that I didn't focus on leading the team. And and the fact that I was more passionate about getting opportunities signed. And when I look back, I see that this is basically the one of the things that I would have done differently. And I said, look, I saw it from distance, and the organization in a way needed you at that point, to be leading the team. And because at the end, of course, in the short term, you would be more productive and you would be able to sign a lot of deals. But in the medium, long term, this is not, it's not something sustainable. So, and that's, do you see a lot of sales leaders, especially new appointed sales leaders, struggle with this?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Often the sellers get promoted to management, to leadership, because they're great sellers, and that's what they know how to do, and they love doing it. And it can be tricky to, you know, move into a leadership position. And I recommend that managers get a mentor, a peer mentor, and they get, you know, kind of a onboarding buddy, because it's really a new role, even though they're familiar with the company, because it's often they get promoted within the organization they're in. It's really quite different. And then the relationship with their team, they were peers and now they're the manager, that can be tricky to navigate. And in a sense, I wrote my book to help managers be able to navigate what I call the 17 core conversations that managers need to have with their sellers. It's really intended to be a how-to book. For example, you know, how does a new leader introduce themselves to their team? Because more often than not, when you take on a new management role, you're managing an existing team. And I've seen many leaders think that that introductory call is about themselves and how great they are. But it's actually about the team and what the team needs to know in order to, you know how to work with them and for them. For example, yes, tell the team what your background is and your career experience. That's great. And a little bit about yourself, like maybe you're married or have kids or love to travel to Italy or all those kinds of things. But then talk about your leadership philosophy and approach. So, for example, when I introduce myself to a new team, I'll say, you know what? Outcome-based performance expectations. I set high goals, high expectations, and I expect you to meet them. We'll have a regular checkpoint and, you know, see how it's going. Bad news needs to travel first. You know, create, you know, no surprises. I want to create clarity and a high-performing team and people first. So I'm here to support you. Let me know what I can do to support your success. And you know, we're all learning here, so don't be shy about telling me you don't know something or you're trying to reach an executive that you're having trouble getting access to. So I talk about kind of how I roll, so to speak, and what I expect, and then also what they can expect from me in terms of how to communicate, you know, text me, IM me, what have you. And then we'll be meeting regularly. And I usually set it up for every other week, but everyone has their own cadence. And so it's really, you know, and then I want to get to know them and I tell them the first one-on-one is about them. So you don't need to prepare anything. I want to know about you and what you care about. Like, what's your ambition? What's your career goal? And, you know, what are the things that I can do to help support and enable your success, not only professionally, but if there are things, well, maybe they have, you know, a child that they need to drop off at daycare or school at 8 a.m, or they want to coach their son's or daughter's soccer team in the afternoon. So how can I accommodate that?
Yeah.
Frankly, workers expect flexibility.
Yeah.
And so flexibility means different things to different people.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's, talking about having the meetings and having a rhythm for that, looking at the example with a sales leader who was also newly appointed. And I was engaged in this project where I interviewed the sales team, and it was obvious that there haven't been like really consistent meetings. Actually, a lot of the team members, they were like, you know, they were surprised that the new members joining, and they were not sure about what the goal or strategy like. And because this new sales leader was on the road, like going and, you know, tackling opportunities, etc. And I'll never forget this conversation I was having with this new sales leader. And I said, look, I talked with the team and I think you need to have a weekly meeting with your team. And then the sales leader tells me like, okay, but who will be doing this sales meeting? And I'm like, I think it will. It should be you, no? But basically, again, this is the challenge where it's the passion they have for their ex role, which made them successful in a way, and yeah, letting go of that and tackling the new challenge, which is leading the team. But two is, I think, the paradigm, and this is a great what you just shared about your book, which is the conversation that they should have with their team. And I think they miss that, which is, well, now my role involves like different responsibilities in a way, right? And I need to ensure that. So when it comes to this conversations, what are some other example of conversation that they need to lead or drive?
Yes. So there's five categories of, well, so there's different categories of conversations, but the five first category is conversations of connection. So this is all about trust, building trust and relationship with your team members. Because if you don't have that, it's hard to actually lead the team. And as we talked about how you introduce yourself to your team, your first one-on-one, how to conduct that and the structure for it. And by the way, all 17 conversation chapters are outlined the same. So how to recognize the need for the conversation, how to, you know, the outcomes expected, how to conduct the conversation, and also some things, how to assess if it worked, and how a Love Your Team sales manager would do it and how a traditional sales manager would do it. So a compare and contrast. So, you know, your first one-on-one, ongoing one-on-ones, you know, learning what your team members care about. So that's a category. Another category is conversations of performance. So leaders must set clear outcome-based performance expectations and have a system for checkpointing how their team members are doing, whether they're on track, and really addressing with clarity the gaps in performance early before it spins out of control, because it gives your team member the ability to then raise the bar and really understand and help them achieve that expected performance, but also empower them and expect them to be able to do that on their own, because ultimately they have to be the performer, and then addressing underperformers. So that can be very, you know, that is, I would say, one of the most difficult conversations any leader has, is just having a frank conversation about underperformance. And it doesn't have to be all emotional. It can just be matter of fact, but also lay out expectations. And then if they don't, you know, step up, you'll need to let them go or help them find another role if you have a large enough organization. Another category of conversation is customer conversations, executive engagement, dealing with customer escalations and issues. And another category is really conversations of internal alignment. If you're working in an organization like Microsoft, a seller's job, at least 50% of a seller's job, is mobilizing the internal resources to work on behalf of delivering what your customer needs, both pre-sales and post-sales. I mean, there's customer success, there's product, but there's executive engagement. And to mobilize those resources is no small thing. And if you're doing a special pricing proposal, you have to go in front of the, you know, review board, which is the senior leaders at Microsoft Sales. And this is another example of how I support my team, is I expect them to do the proposal, of course, going through the steps needed. And then I empower them to do the proposal themselves to the most senior executives. And if it's a virtual meeting, which most of them are these days, I turn my camera off and I take notes for them in the background on actions, because I want them to be present. I want them to be fully engaged in the conversation. And then it gives me the opportunity to debrief with them after the call. but it also enables them to build their confidence and skills and have visibility with senior executives. And so this is an example of how I expect them to do the whole job and I don't step in for them. And so those are some of the natures of the conversations, and they're critical and also conversational skills. I have a different section on conversational skills. Because building trust, creating clarity, creating context. Often your team wants to know what's going on, and you've got to explain and create the context for them. If there's a reorg, if there's a different direction, maybe there's layoffs, many skills. And by the way, the things that I think managers need to do in building trust, relationship, understanding what your sellers want on their terms are exactly the same things that the sellers need to do with their customers. Customers want what they want on their terms. They want to be able, you have to build trust with a customer. What we sell is so complex that really the buyer at the customer, they don't want to, they're betting their career when they make a purchase decision.
Of course.
They've got to be able to trust the seller, but also the company representing what the buyer is buying. So these are big stakes conversations and a seller's in the middle of it. And I think it makes it incredibly exciting.
I really like how you kind of we broke it down into these conversations. I think, I've read a lot of books, and I'm aware of a lot of literature around like leadership and including sales leadership. But I think you are kind of adding something new to this whole literature, which coming from practice and coming from your own experience and observation about what does it take. And I think these conversations are very crucial. And I think that, I'm very curious also to read the book and to dive deeper into this, because I worked in the commercial department, which was more tender and bids and proposals. And I was heading that for a number of years. And I know like how it was important to kind of drive the team forward and to take a step back, and instead of me doing the proposal, like making them do it. And I really like how you describe it about, even shutting your camera off and then basically listening in and then debriefing, because I think that's a gift that you give them that will stay with them, and the confidence, the learning, and the reflection that they could make, and the feedback, all these are extremely powerful. So, I mean, what else you think that the sales leaders, they need to pay attention to in order to accelerate performance?
Yeah. So as I've touched on setting outcome-based performance expectations, and I do it both in terms of hard metrics, of course, making your quota, pipeline coverage is a hard metric, like 3X or 4X, whatever. But I also think soft, what I would call soft, but they're actually harder to achieve sometimes, metrics like, for example, being somebody that the rest of the organization wants to work with. So living by the cultural norms. And if your company doesn't have cultural norms, the leader needs to set the cultural norm and expectation for the team. So, for example, there's, of course, respect and inclusion. So when people are on a team call, I ask them to turn on their cameras. And then if somebody's dominating the conversation, I'll say, hey, Joe, do you have something to add here? And with complex deals and sales, there's even in a smaller company, you have other parts of the organization you need to rely on. And if your seller can't mobilize the resources and treat people so that they want to work with you, that's a problem. So I've had situations where I've needed to, frankly, put people on a performance plan because while they were a tremendous seller achieving quota, they were falling short of the interactions and the cultural and people skills that was creating an issue. And while short term, you might think, oh my goodness, I can't lose this seller, you actually, I think, don't recognize the opportunity cost of what you could be delivering and having if people were truly mobilized and working on behalf to deliver what that customer needed. And so I think managers often, as I said, it's a tough conversation, but you've got to have clarity and conviction and address the underperformers because it can be so emotionally taxing if you let it persist and then it gets beyond a point of no return. And it really is doing yourself a disservice and your team member.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted to kind of talk more about this topic, but we are reaching toward the end of our conversation. And I want to ask you about what kind of final advice you have for sales leaders.
Yeah, I would say there's the basics. Give your team, clarity of what's expected and have a regular cadence of meeting with them and finding out kind of how it's going and how you can support them. Addressing underperformers and underperformers often aren't an all or nothing thing. It's some slice or aspect of the job that isn't quite to what you'd expect. Address that early and, don't be afraid of supporting your team's career success, even if they leave you because they get promoted, because you become an attractor of talent. And people recognize that you grow and you help your sellers, you can get all of the top talent that you need to be successful. So don't be afraid of supporting your team, even if it means that ultimately they go work in another team or get promoted.
Yeah. Helen, thank you so much. I'm really curious to read the book and to get more insight about these conversations. I think this is much needed today because of all the challenges that are happening, because of people working virtually and to be able to lead a sales team virtually, which add more complexity and pressure on the sales leaders. And so I'm looking forward to reading the book. And thank you again for being my guest today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. And for all the leaders out there, especially sales leaders, stay inspired and make the biggest impact you could make, not only within your area of responsibility, but beyond it. Bye.